Good morning, everybody. It's Teresa from Sojourn Retreats. It's the 3rd of November. I must apologize for being so scarce. This particular devotional has been in the making for over 2 weeks now. It just kept on developing and I didn't want to send it out prematurely. And so in gratitude for your patience, I'm going to be sending this devotional. It's a little bit longer than the normal one, but also a video which I truly believe is going to bless you today. And so today's title for the teaching is What Are We Sowing? And I'm going to be looking at a very well-known parable today, and that is the parable of the sower. And for reference purposes, and I really recommend that you self-study this, there's so much depth in it, is Matthew 13, verse 1 to 23, Mark 4, verse 1 to 20, and Luke 8, verse 4 to 15. I'm going to give a quick overview, and again, I must stress that I could possibly teach on this for weeks. But the parable speaks of a sower that went out to sow seed. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, some fell on rocky ground, some fell among thorns, and others fell on good ground. I know that you know the story, but I think it's important to remind you that the seed in this parable is referring to the word of God. And that is confirmed in Mark 4, verse 14, where it says, "The sower sows the word." And that the different ground conditions are in actual fact our heart. And that each one of those ground conditions yields a different outcome for the seed. I'm going to touch on the ground conditions, but I'm wanting to really just hone in on the actual seed. And that is the word of God. Remember in previous teachings how I mentioned that Jesus used metaphors to make complex topics easier to understand. Man, I was just looking at this yesterday and I realized that he was so clever to use this farming metaphor, because in that day and age, they all farmed, and most people farmed in that time. So they would have understood it and it would have been so relatable to them. But then I just marveled at how even today, even though many of us don't farm, we all have head knowledge on how a seed germinates and yields fruit. I think we all do that in primary school. And so it just fascinates me that all the bases were covered for us all to understand this. But when I looked closely, I found that there is so much more to this teaching, and I want to share that with you today. The first thing I want to look at is the importance of the seed. We all know that life on earth would cease to exist without seed. Every plant, every animal, and even us as humans come from seed. But the other day I heard a teaching which just brought such a different perspective to me. And I want to show you that everything above ground, and I'm not talking about iron ore or stone, rock. I'm actually talking about everything above ground comes from a seed. So while I'm preparing for this teaching, I'm sitting at a table. I want you to look around while I'm talking to you. I'm sitting at a table which was once a tree, which would have come from a seed. The paper that I'm writing on was also once a tree, which came from a seed. I'm looking at the ink that I'm using in my pen. It would have come from a dye, which would probably have come from a plant. And then there's leather around me, there's glass, there's tablecloth, there's other textiles. All of that would have come from a seed. The raw material used to make these things all originated from a seed. Have you ever stopped to think how incredible that is? That in the very beginning, God knew to create everything in such a way that its existence continued for all time. And that was all through a seed. Look at Genesis 1, verse 11 to 13. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on earth." Isn't that incredible? Seed is vital. Without seed, nothing would exist. And so apart from making use of this metaphor to make it simpler for us to understand, I believe that Jesus used this parable to show us how vital the word of God is, because he likens it to that very seed. Something else that's interesting is that in Mark 4 verse 13, Jesus said to his disciples about this parable, he said, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables?" Again, this to me just highlights the importance of this particular teaching. And I believe it's got to do with the fact that the word of God is as vital as seed is to us. The second thing I want to look at is how not to sow the seed. The parable teaches on three soil conditions that are not conducive to bearing fruit. The first is by the wayside. This speaks of seed that fell on a pathway, it was trampled down, and where the birds of the air devour it. Just as a matter of interest, each one of these accounts in the Bible on the parable are explained one chapter further. And so in the explanation, this particular scenario is explained as where we hear the word and we don't understand it. And that the outcome of that is that the enemy comes and steals that word from us. You know that I'm a very practical girl. And so what I'm wanting to do now is I'm wanting to share my own experiences of where this has happened to me. And I am making myself a bit vulnerable. But in this particular case, I want to explain to you that once or share with you that once I attended a healing conference, and man, it was powerful. You know, when you're with a whole lot of people and I just received such incredible truth about healing, I got all the verses in the Bible to stand on. And I even went up for prayer for a particular condition that I was battling with at the time. And so believing I was healed, I got into my car and I drove home. And on my drive home, I felt a symptom. And immediately doubt crept in. And I started thinking, oh, but maybe this is not for me. And so the truth that I was taught was stolen from me from the devil. And it was not able to yield fruit. The second scenario I want to show you is that the seed fell on stony ground, where there is not enough ground. And so even though it springs up, there's not enough root. And the sun comes and scorches it, and it withers. This is explained as us hearing the word, immediately receiving it with joy. I want you to take note of that word, receiving it with joy, but not enough root in itself. And so it endures for a little while, but then tribulation and persecution arise and the person stumbles. My example of this is that I have been involved in church from as young as I can remember. I attended Sunday school, I attended confirmation, I've taught, I've served in the church for many years. And so it would be safe to say that I knew the word quite well. But I remember going through a very, very dry season in my life, and it was probably my mid-30s, where even though I had heard all of that word, it wasn't rooted enough in me to sustain me. And I felt that I was struggling horribly in that time. The third situation is where the seed fell among thorns and choked it. This is explained as hearing the word, but then that the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the one in Luke specifies the pleasures of life, they all come and choke the word. I want to tell you as well that I made the mistake once of planting a vegetable garden, just a practical little side note. I planted a vegetable garden and got some compost from somebody that had weeds in it. And so, man, I couldn't believe how fast those weeds grew. And they are a lot hardier than your plants. And before you know it, your garden's gone. But that's just a side note. I want to give you an example. And that was when I was younger and at varsity, actually. I attended church every week. I even had a Bible study that I attended. And so I was getting this word every week. And it was really powerful stuff. And my intention was always to take what I'd learned in church and to maybe study it a bit more during the week and meditate on it. But then there was such a social life at varsity that it just trumped sitting reading my Bible. And so I never, ever did that. And so what happens then is that the word of God is then choked out of our lives. I'm finding that today I need to guard against just a lot of distractions. We all have a lot of distractions. And mine in particular are just doing fun things like reading or crosswords or watching TV. And I'm really not yet saying that we need to sit and read the word all day. I'm just hoping to put it into perspective so that we can see that what a priority it is in our lives. And so now I want to look at how to sow the seed. Those are all accounts. Those are all scenarios of what we've got to guard against and look out for. So the third thing, as I said, was how to sow the seed. This speaks of the sower, or the seed at least, being sown in good ground where it yields a crop, it increases, and it produces. In the explanation, and I've incorporated all three accounts, it says they hear the word, they understand it, they accept it. Remember that word received it, they accept it, and then they keep it. The fact that they use this word keep it shows that it can be lost. And those three accounts that I've just given you now show that we actually can lose the word of God. And so it's important for us to keep it. And then it says it bears fruit 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Just another side note, have you ever taken note of how much the yield is from a particular seed? If you think about a watermelon, you could take one seed out of a watermelon and plant it, and it would give you even if it just gives you one, it'll probably give you more. But if it gives you one watermelon, that watermelon has so many seeds in it, it can yield a crop of thousands. Isn't that incredible as well? I just wanted to show you that that multiplication there. Sorry, just bear with me. I'm turning the page. So it can give a massive harvest. And so that is true for the Word of God as well. But I want to put all of this into practical terms for you. And I want to look at what it would look like. So firstly, just like a natural seed needs to be planted in good soil and have good conditions in order to bear fruit, so too the Word of God needs to be planted or sown in a good heart, one that takes time to hear it, that understands it, that accepts it, and that guards it and keeps it. If this is done, I want to show you that the Word of God never fails. Do you know that even if you plant a seed in good soil, if the conditions are not good, so in other words, if there's no sun and no water, and I believe me, I'm not very good at planting things, I can attest to this, it will not thrive. But the Word of God never, ever fails. And that is confirmed in 1 Peter 1, verse 23, where it says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flowers fall away, but the Word of God endures forever. And then I want to say to you today as well, that if you do this, that it will always bear fruit. In Isaiah 55, verse 11, it says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I have sent it. Do you remember my Arsenal book? I make reference to it so often. Remember, I told you how to find certain words related to whatever you're going through and then to meditate on them until they are in your memory and in your heart. We are not seeing the fruit in our lives today because we are not sowing the right seeds in our hearts. Example, if you're believing for healing, what word are you planting in your heart? If you're believing for provision, what word or seed are you planting in your heart? I want to stress here, remember, it's not just about hearing the word, but it's about meditating on it, understanding it, accepting it, and then keeping it in your heart. One thing I must just mention here quickly is that it doesn't happen overnight. Just like a natural seed doesn't just spring forth straight away, it takes time, and I'd be brave to say even a little bit of care for it to be able to yield a harvest. In Mark 4, verse 28, it says, for the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that, the full grain in the head. In Luke's account or explanation of this particular parable, it says, those having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. And so I want to say to you that from experience and certainly in my early Christian walk, it was not fun for me to read the Bible. I found it very, very difficult. But I believe that when we start understanding how important it is to us, along with how many people lost their lives to make it available for us today, I think a new love can start stirring up in us for us to be able to start studying the Bible more. Particularly when we learn how it can produce the fruit that we are so desperate for in our lives. Last week, a friend of mine shared a testimony with me about a missionary couple that were arrested in a foreign country where they were serving. In prison, they had no access to their Bible. And despite, just like me, being familiar with large portions of the Bible, they were astounded at how little they could remember in order for them to be sustained in this horrendous situation. I want to say to you today that it's one thing to know a couple of verses, but it's a whole other thing to plant them so deep in your heart and apply them in your life so that they become second nature. Because it's only then that we are going to be strong enough to weather the storms that we are going to go through. Today, we take the Word of God so for granted. We don't know its value. My prayer today is that we would really just start understanding how important it is. for a love for the word to be stirred up in us. I'm going to be attaching a short video that I also trust will stir up a hunger for the word for you. Be blessed this week, and I will definitely be chatting to you again on Monday. Goodbye.